Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Well, I trust my extended discussion of church membership as it is revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in other portions in the New Testament, is not tedious or burdensome to you. I realize that it could be. It's a subject that maybe not everybody is interested in, but my concern is that it's a subject that more people ought to be interested in. It's a subject that a lot of people misunderstand. It's a subject that a lot of people neglect and ignore and overlook or even deny the scriptural evidence for it in the New Testament. And therefore, I'm encouraged to believe that it's a profitable matter to talk about it extensively, as I have been doing over the last several broadcasts. And so we are dealing at this point with the idea of removal and relocation as it applies to church membership. How do you move from one church to another? How do you transfer your membership from one church to another? And the way that is done is by letters of transfer or letters of recommendation. And I have spent some time on the last two broadcasts showing you the scriptural basis for that. And we'll continue doing that on the broadcast today, and I thank you for joining me for this time of teaching God's Word, and I thank you for helping me financially pay the bills on this station to be able to do this. Letters of recommendation. Yesterday in the broadcast, we looked at the opening verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul talks about letters of commendation, letters of recommendation. A letter that is a testimony to that person's Christian life and character. It validates his profession of faith. It says he not only claims to be a Christian when he shows up in this new town at this new church that don't know anything about his background, he not only testifies that he's a Christian, but he has a track record. He has demonstrated himself to be a genuine Christian, a faithful, active member of his local church in the previous town, and his local church is happy to testify to that, is happy to communicate that to the new church. It is a letter of commendation or recommendation. We find that being done, those letters being utilized in regard to authorized church representatives in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection of the saints, Paul writes, "As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And here's the significant verse 3, "And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem." You select one or more representatives to travel with me to carry this offering to Jerusalem. They couldn't send it by wire. They couldn't write a check. They couldn't even take a stack of Benjamins, as we know them today. Money in that day was inevitably in gold or silver coins. So here they have a substantial offering for Jerusalem, and it consists of bags of gold and silver coins. It needs a pretty large company to communicate this. It needs to be, just to carry, it's going to require some strength. So you don't want any weaklings involved in this. But more importantly, it needs to be guarded against thieves. You need a good company of people to do this. But again, these need to be people of highest integrity, people that the church trusts with their money. And Paul says, I want you to write letters of recommendation for these individuals that you select. Whoever you send, I'm going back to the text now in 1 Corinthians 16, and when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Just underscoring this practice of authenticating people's testimony by means of a letter written by the church and likely approved by the congregation. I think the way this would have been done, the way it would be done in our church, would be for a letter to be composed and then read to the congregation for their approval. Here's the letter that we propose. We will read it into your hearing. Does anyone have any reservations about this letter? Anyone have any doubts or questions about the wording of this letter? If so, let that be known. All right, if not, then let's take a vote that indicates you approve this letter of commendation. And that will authenticate the integrity, the testimony, the standing of this person who this letter speaks of. So this idea of having letters of commendation or recommendation is not a foreign idea to the New Testament. It sounds to me like it was practiced regularly among New Testament churches, not only for church membership, but also to identify authorized representatives, also to identify authorized traveling preachers. There were a lot of things that they used these letters of recommendation for, in addition to church membership. Now you say, well, show me where one is used for church membership. Thank you for asking. And now I'm going to refer to the third epistle of John. And I remember when I was preaching through this epistle quite some time ago at our church, it occurred to me that this short letter, among other things, is a letter of recommendation. It's an example of a letter of recommendation from the early days. Let's listen to it, this third epistle of John. I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Now, what is that all about? John is writing this church to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, and yet it's going to a congregation. We don't have time to document all of that, but it's clear that that's what this is. It's not just a letter to a person. It's a letter to a congregation. He has some instructions here that pertain to the church. He says in verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive them. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, and so forth. And it's clear that this letter was being communicated to a church, not to just to one individual. But with that in mind, you can see how Paul is commending Gaius by this letter, and he is commending these traveling preachers to Gaius by this letter. Think about it again when I read through it. Beloved, you, Gaius, do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. Traveling brethren, traveling preachers, traveling missionaries, who were strangers in the sense that they were not previously known to Gaius or to his local church, but they were known to John, and John is putting his stamp of approval upon them by writing this letter of commendation about them. These brethren, and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, how do they do that? Well, they did that at the church at Ephesus, telling that church about Gaius and his commendable support and encouragement and hospitality. John says, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. John is now talking about these people and about their character and their willingness to serve Christ and their commitment to Christ and their sacrifice for Christ. They're willing to do this without taking any, you know, not raising money in the world. They're not doing things to raise money from unbelievers. They went forth for his namesake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We, therefore, ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We, who are Christians, as opposed to the unbelievers in the world, we ought to receive these people. This is a letter of recommendation about these ones that have been sent out from the church at Ephesus, where John is now serving as the senior pastor. And he is commending by way of this epistle. This is not only referring, this is not just referring to letters of commendation like we saw in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, but this is one. In some ways, the bulk of this letter, this third epistle to John, is a letter of commendation for these traveling missionaries, so that the church would have confidence to receive them. The church doesn't know them. Gaius doesn't know them. The church doesn't know them. How can they be sure that they are bona fide, qualified, orthodox, godly people that deserve our support? How do they know that? Because John writes a letter of commendation to let that be known. And this is the letter. You're reading it. It's in the Bible. It's 3 John. You're reading it. You are receiving the contents of it. You are hearing the commendation that John is giving about these people. And therefore, if you were living in that day, you would now have confidence that you can support, you can financially support these people without any reservations, without any questions. They are authenticated by this letter of recommendation. The letter is 3 John. It is an epistle or a letter of commendation. That's what was going on in the early church, and we would do well to copy that practice in our day. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.